This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio, and we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Well, I'm holding on.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, the Iron Man Charlie Collier on a special return. He's back. Is his microphone on? Please God, make sure it is. Hodden, welcome back to the show.
He's back.
Thank you, John. It's been a long time coming. It's been about 2 months now.
Wow.
Came back for a special Titans Friday.
A Titan Up Friday. Got Hayden in the building. How you feeling about the game and life? The game first.
I'm getting a little bit nervous about it, to be honest.
Oh, God. Okay, never mind. How you feel about life? How's it feel to finally be 21?
Feels good.
Yeah?
Feels good, yeah.
Got your FanDuel account set up. You chugged your victory White Claw to celebrate being 21. I'm proud of you. I'm happy to see you again. I missed you. We'll talk about your nervousness throughout the show. Cam, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm hanging in there. It's a little cold. Yeah, Charlie laughed because I'm over here bundled.
It is very cold, actually.
Also, my house. I gotta do something with my air conditioning system. I got one that's like connected to like, I don't know, some sort of like smart system. I don't really know how it works.
Uh-huh.
I didn't install it. It's not really like I'm just renting the place. Apparently, it claimed the heat was running too long or something. So I wake up this morning. I'm like, wow, why is it so cold in my house?
So
go look
just,
at the little thing. And yeah, it was like the auxiliary heat was running too long. And I was like, what do you mean it's running too long? It's 54 degrees in my house. Like, can you turn back on?
How low did you have it?
I had it at like,
did you have it
I had like 68. Like, it wasn't bad. I just,
not like overwhelming the system.
Yeah, like, it's just, I guess it was so cold that it couldn't get it done, and it just gave up on me, and it was just like, you know what, you'll be all right. And so I woke up, and my house was 54 degrees, so I wasn't happy. So I've just been bundled up all morning, and now, yeah, oh, geez.
So jealous.
Trying to survive. A 54.
Yes, that's geez. That's how I kept my apartment for 3 years, and now I live with someone else that like always him and his girlfriend are always like 72, 73, 74.
I would be hibernating,
and I'm sweating every morning when I wake up.
I've talked about it often, no reason to rehash it, but yeah, when I lived out on the farm, I was running on propane. It was way too expensive, so I kept it like basically like 50.
Yeah,
myself.
That's how
like
it should be.
So it wasn't freezing. It just ran some space heaters, and it was really freezing most mornings as well, so I understand where you're coming from, Cam. And you can't handle the cold, so I'm sure
cannot.
It's even worse.
I was very distraught this morning.
You probably
and my ferret doesn't like the cold really either, so I was feeling bad for her
with all that fur.
Yeah, she doesn't really have. She's small, so she doesn't have like that much fur really. So I'm got her bundled up and stuff too. So it's just like a whole mess all around.
The ferret's like blankets. Like, can you just?
Oh yeah, tuck She's in a bunch of blankets right now at home, sleeping, trying to stay warm. Survival mission at this point. Yeah, dude, I need that baby to turn back on. Fingers crossed. But yeah, here we are. Here we are going into a good weekend for you guys, I guess. Or
Cam waking up in a 58-degree house, or however cold it was, maybe even like lower than that.
54.
Yeah. Is equivalent to like how most people would feel if they had to like sleep outside right now.
Yeah,
I imagine that's how Cam felt. So I hope you get over your hypothermia, mental hypothermia that you're dealing with.
I pressed the heat back on my way out, so hopefully by the time I get back, it actually kicked in.
I'm dealing with a similar situation, not inside my house, but I had to go full Karen today.
Uh
oh, I didn't go full Karen. Let me take that back. I didn't go full Karen. There was a part of me that almost did, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to choose joy. I'm not going to do it. But then I was internally battling. Am I choosing joy or am I like being a pushover? I was like, you know what? Never mind. They're not going to change it. And even so, the principle is not, you know, necessary. The principle just tells me to just pay the price and then bash them on the internet. But like my heat is like going out in my car. And then, you know, as cold as it finally is, like, you know what? I'll get it checked. I got my oil change. I've been waiting. I was like, I got to get an oil change. I'll just do it both. So I went there and I was asking the people. I was like, you know, how much is it going to be to look? Here's what's going on with my heating and air. It's like, oh, you know, it just depends. Like, well, give me a high end. He's like, well, you know, it could be a couple $1,000 just messed up. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that. And I was like, well, low end. He's like, oh, no, we'll just let you know. So I was like, cool, whatever. They call me and they're like, $800. Your, you know, heater motor has gone out. $800 to get it fixed. And I was like, no, that's cool. Because by then I'd already looked. Like, I went home and looked at a couple options. And I was like, $800 is going to be seen. Because the actual motor is only like $60. So if you just find somebody to put it in, it's not that much. So like $800. Because I made a mistake. Whenever I was leaving, he's like, I'll call you when it's done about this heating and air. I was like, ah. I was like, okay, cool. I was like, basically give him the okay to do anything. I was like, go ahead and do it if it's $500 or $600. But anything over that, call me. Which maybe that was me giving them my price range. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have just said anything.
Yeah.
I was kicking myself as I was walking back because I just went to the place closest to me, closest to where I live. So then they call me, lo and behold, $800, so just a little bit above my range. I was like, nah, that's cool, I'll wait. Because by then, I looked to see what the price should be. And it should be about $200. And I was like, no, thanks. Like, okay, your car's ready. I was like, cool. So then like 90 minutes later, I come get it. And my car's still sitting in like the little bay, not ready. I'm pushing it because I was walking over there like 11, 12. Yeah, like, I've got to get ready to the show. Car wasn't ready. I was already a little annoyed. And then, you know, I come in, close out. The one guy's like, yeah, we got you done. And then the manager's like, no, we don't. It's still in there. And like basically gives me the look. He's like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, you told me it was $800. I didn't want to do it. He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Well, what about $600? And by then I was just mad because I was like, wait a second. You went from $800 to $600 without having like any like type of discussion with me? Like, you got to give me something that makes me feel good, like where you're like, well, we're going to do this and this different. I can do something a little bit differently to save you this money. He's just like, oh, how about $600? Okay, like I was trying to charge you $200 too much anyways.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, we're back to $600, which was my original range that I accidentally told you. And I wanted to just be like, I wouldn't spend another dime here ever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was just like, oh, okay. So then I leave, and then my $70 oil change was $220. I was like, how does this happen? He's like, oh, there's fees for us to diagnose your car. I was like, what do you mean diagnose it? I told you what was wrong with it. Yeah. Like, what you had to do is open the hood to see, like, where the fan was. Because he's like, if it's here, it'll be too hard to get to, and it'll be really expensive. I'll take the dash out, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But if it's here, it'll be, you know, it's easy. So he charged me $160 fee to like open up my hood, and I wanted to just argue with him like, you didn't tell me that when I asked, but I was like, you know what? Someone had told me that like a couple weeks ago. He wasn't there. He didn't know that, but I just bit my tongue and walked out. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to bash him on the internet. But I was like, you know what? No, I'm not. I'm just going to go about my business. But then they made the mistake of texting me because you had to give them their number.
Mm-hmm.
So they texted me and was like, thanks for your service. Do you care to leave a Google review? And I was like, no, I do not mind at all to leave a Google review. So then I clicked on it, and 1 star, and laid out the whole scenario. And I guess I didn't go full Karen, but I went like 40% Karen.
Okay.
I wouldn't have paid.
You just wouldn't have paid at all?
No, I would have just driven my car away.
Yeah, I wondered like what would have happened if I'd done that. But then I was like, well, A, it wasn't out. But I was like, you know, do they look at the VIN number when they check you in, like to have it on file?
They then probably,
they can report it, like, you know, like call the cops. Like, yeah. I don't want the bad karma. And again, a guy had told me that a couple weeks ago. He was like, it'll be $140 just for a look at it. And I was like, I declined that day because I didn't want to pay $150 just to look at it. So then when I went back today, that guy didn't give me that number. So like, okay, fine, I'll let you look at it. And he got me. He got me. I probably could argue my way out of $150, and I probably should have. I could hear my dad in my ear, like, how he would have reacted and made it very uncomfortable and probably gotten his way. But I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to do it. Because it was also like 11:15. So like, if I argue too long and we get in a real standstill, like I'm going to be late for the show and not be able to get lunch. No, so I was like,
if I were you, like I would still be there right now. arguing with them, or I would have already have just only paid for the oil change and have left. But I would not have left there until I did not have to pay the extra $150.
You're probably right. You're probably right, and I have some regret.
Car places are crazy. I literally got my tires changed one time at a place, and then like a week later, they're calling me talking about how I didn't pay for my tires. And they had filed a police report and everything. So I was like, y'all just got me out here driving around with like a warrant for my arrest because I paid for the tires, and I had to go argue with the manager and stuff, and then they found the like receipts and things, and then they're trying to be so apologetic. And
they offer you anything?
Oh yeah, I got like refunded for the tires and everything because I was like, this is absurd. Like I could have gotten arrested for like no reason, and it would have been, it was just a whole mess. I was like, how do you mess that up? Like I obviously paid for it, and you have it on file, like the receipt, like it's out of my account. Like I have my receipts, like.
I was checking myself because I have a place that I trust that has done pretty right by me.
Yeah.
It's close to the station, but like I was like, I didn't want to like leave my car there, then like have to Uber here, and then it might not be done and go back at like 3:30. So I was like, this place is literally like right next to where I live now, so like I can drop it off and just walk back to where I live.
Yeah, yeah.
And like spend my morning there doing whatever I want, makes and just sense. Like walk by and pick it up. So I went with a new place, and they tried to screw me. Mm. I was like, this my other place would never have done that. Mm. My other place would never have done that to me, and it's what I get. It's what I get.
Trying new things.
And I just, there were other customers in there, and I like I said, I almost wanted to call the CM back, tell him, like, don't come here. Like, don't spend your money here. I came very close. When I was younger, I probably would have. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not, actually. I would have thought about it. I used to be a little bit more of a hothead, but I still didn't like causing, like, real, like, public conflict.
Yeah. Stressful morning.
So I don't know, I don't know if I was just acting like a punk, or if I just was the bigger adult, if you will, but I paid $100.
You got punked.
Mm. You want to go back and argue on my behalf for me?
Yeah, I kind of do. Like, I'm feeling very fiery today.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Well, it took us 5 days to get you here where you weren't whining and
no,
gnashing your teeth.
No, that's not true. I told you Wednesday is when I flipped into aggression. And it's an aggression that's just only risen.
As Uncle Bobo writes in, says, I grew up on a farm and I should be able to change the heater motor myself. You might be onto something there, but it's like, I don't know if you've checked, but it's like 20 degrees outside right now. I would rather have paid like $150 just to have it done properly. Like, that's how much it should have cost, like $150, $200. Like, that's how much an honest man would have called. Like, I called a couple of third-party people of like friends and family members like back home. I was like, yeah, just get the motor and bring it down. I'll do it for you. You know, they might even do it for free. But I was like, it's cold. I'm going to Nashville like this weekend. So I was like, you know what? I'd kind of like to have some heat. It puts out just enough where it's, like, not too uncomfortable.
Okay.
But I was like, you know, I'm here. I'm getting an oil change. I might as well do it. And he's right. Maybe I should just do it myself. Maybe I should. But stuff like that, I'd rather just pay $150.
Sure, we could watch a couple YouTube videos and figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. But here we are. Here we are.
The things we do for convenience.
That's really what it was, but not $800 worth of convenience. Yeah. Not $800 worth of convenience. Let's go to break. Let's get set. So we'll come back. Hayden, you want to do the story of the day or no? No? Okay, we'll let Charlie do it. We'll find the biggest story. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
I fell asleep amid the flowers for a couple of hours.
As we're getting set to talk about the story of the day here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, go to ESPN, you know, just kind of check, make sure I'm not missing any news. And the big story right now, on ESPN.com, completely caught me by surprise. The greatest catch for Rams superstar Cooper Kupp? His wife, Anna. And this is a picture of them.
Is it?
From like East, I guess whenever he was at Eastern. Where did he go to school? Eastern Illinois?
Eastern Washington.
Hey,
Michael Roof's Field, baby.
Okay. He's got a picture of them in college, and it's just like, yeah, his greatest catch is his wife, Anna. Kupp's Triple Crown receiving season was full of the results of his hard work with his wife, who has become the best teammate he could have asked for. Which, I mean, I guess that's a cool story, but like, it seems like a story that you run like in the off season.
Yeah.
Or like on a Monday or Tuesday, like maybe like a Wednesday of the playoff week. but definitely not a Friday.
He said he wouldn't be in the NFL if it wasn't for her.
I'm interested in the story. Like, I do want to hear about, like, maybe is she running, like, was she passing to him while he ran routes? Like, was she out there guarding him?
She's locking him up. And he just
was Cooper Kupp, like, undrafted and had to, like, bounce around for a couple years before he got a chance, and she just, like, paid the bills? Like, I am interested in how.
No, he got drafted.
Okay. I mean, I'm asking. I don't know his, like, origin story.
He was good as a rookie.
I mean, I remember him, you know, the last, like, 3 or 4 years. I kind of unfamiliar how long he's like been in the league.
Apparently, guy, right? She, like, paid for, like, she was the money person, like, during college.
Okay.
Like,
then
yeah.
She deserves some credit. Shout out to the women out there holding down their men.
She said she was working full time, so he didn't have to worry about that, and he could focus.
He's in year 5, by the way, Charlie.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, well, he was a third-round pick in 2017.
Right, which is 5 years ago. 5 seasons ago.
You know I'm not a math guy, John.
But, yeah, I mean, his first year, I mean, he didn't, you know, really, like, ever struggle. It just came right on and, you know, 60 catches, 870 yards, and, you know, was, you know, a pretty good sneaky option. But, yeah, I was just caught by surprise as I check for some, you know, divisional round coverage, and it's Cooper.
She's good looking.
Yeah, I mean, credit to them. I love a good love story. It sounds like, you know, it's true love, and it wasn't like she was just chasing a lottery ticket, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I got me a ball player that's going to make me really, really rich.
Yeah, she was at Eastern Washington. Yeah,
yeah,
she,
like, she's like running there
at Roos Field scouting out. Nah, this guy runs a great route tree.
Right. She wasn't out there, like, at Alabama taking a chance with, like, 5 stars, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Even clinging on to someone at Tennessee that might have a chance. She's like, just up at, you know, Eastern Washington, where I doubt there are very many NFL players come from. So yeah. I like stories like that. It's a heartfelt story. If they ran it on, like, Saturday morning countdown, or I guess maybe Sunday morning countdown before their game, I would have enjoyed it. Just caught me by surprise.
Oh, Anna was in the SEC, too.
Okay.
She's a track athlete at Arkansas, and they're a really good track program.
So what happened there? Like, she retired and, like, went to Eastern Washington, like, fell in love and was a little bit older than him?
They're like, the distance wasn't – it says the distance was tough, so she ended up going to Eastern Washington, lost nearly 2 years of course credits if it wouldn't transfer.
Wow. What a woman.
It worked out.
What a woman. Okay, you know what? I'm actually in on the story.
Dollar beer is at Rocco's Teriyaki.
Rocco's?
Can't drink Rocco's.
Hayden, you said you had a story of the day?
Yeah. Penny Hardaway last night.
Man. Penny Hardaway. Your mic was off. You made it one segment. you literally made it one segment. Welcome back, Hayden. Yeah. Penny Hardaway. Last night, the meltdown coming out of that was, you're right, that is the story of the day. Like, I don't know how much, like, legs it'll have moving forward, but last night it was just kind of honestly surreal to see as he's melting down. You don't get very many, like, coaching meltdowns where they're, like, dropping, like, F-bombs all over the place. You get some angry coaches, but usually they have the wherewithal not to be up there just, like, cursing people.
You think any quotes from that will reach, like, the Coastal Carolina, we need some dogs, not some kitty cats, meow. Or like the Mike Gundy, I'm a man, I'm 40. Like you think we'll ever get that from this video?
I mean, what would be the one catchphrase there? Like, stop playing with me, stop disrespecting me. Like he had.
I think it would be, come on, man, stop disrespecting me, bro.
Yeah, I don't know if that's as iconic as someone going meow, meow.
We need some dogs. We don't need no kitty cats.
If Penny Hardaway had as much anger in his voice as Mike Gundy, maybe. But Mike Gundy, like, isolating his statement of, I'm a man, I'm 40, is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
In itself.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous in itself. I mean, it's actually, like, what you probably should have been doing. I don't know if you guys remember what happened there.
Yeah,
but,
no,
like,
he was right.
Gundy's quarterback was getting bashed, and he's like, don't write about him. Come after me. I'm a man, I'm 40. And then you had Penny Hardaway doing the opposite, which was, hey, I'm working here. We got 17 and 18-year-olds over here. What am I supposed to do? It was actually the opposite message. But the meltdown from Penny was just really, really surreal to see. I understood him being a little annoyed by the question.
Mm-hmm.
The question that set him off was like, do you think you can get it done here?
Yeah, do you think you can do this? Yeah.
And he basically was like, stop asking me stupid bleeping questions, which I think that's a dumb question, because what is Penny Hardaway going to say? Like, yeah, man, honestly, I've had doubts the last year and a half. Like, this hasn't gone very well. Like, really, ever since James Wiseman wasn't able to, like, do a whole season, I realized, yeah, I might be in over my head. Like, what's he going to say? Of course he thinks he can do it. He's a proud person that's been pretty successful in all stops of his life. I mean, he was a really, really, really great NBA player when healthy. Mm-hmm. To the point where, like, it was a legitimate argument between him and Shaq. Think about that for a second. Like, they were like, huh, who should we have here? Penny Hardaway or Shaq? To the point where Shaq was like, you know what, I'm out of here. Like, Orlando was okay with picking Penny Hardaway. And, you know, he goes and has a pretty successful career until injuries catch up. I feel like he was a pretty successful high school basketball coach as well. And he thinks he could probably do anything. And then he gets here, and it has been a disaster. I mean, they have what's their best moment? Beating us?
Beating Alabama.
Beating Alabama. I don't think that meant more to them than beating us or winning the NIT.
On the road.
Yeah,
like beating, I thought you were talking specifically this year for a second.
No, I'm talking about just his entire tenure. Like,
his
entire
tenure is beating us on the road, yeah, probably.
That or winning the NIT. Like, they celebrated last year like it was going to springboard them into success this year. And, I mean, Memphis was a top 10 team this year, and I understand they've had a couple injuries. But, man, like, I mean, everyone kept pointing out to, like, you know who else had a couple injuries? The team in your conference is still winning. Houston, who is a top 10 team despite losing like an All-American.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And another guy.
They lost Marcus Sasser. So, I don't know. Yeah, my favorite part of the whole quote was just that we don't have a full roster. Y'all know we don't have a full roster. Act like we've got 17 and 18 and 19-year-olds out here trying to learn how to play against 22, 23, and 24-year-old guys.
I would like to see like how many 24-year-olds they've had to go against, because it feels like there aren't very many 24-year-olds in college basketball.
SMU
especially,
just has like a normal roster.
Yeah, especially in the American Athletic Conference. Like, I understand that John Fulkerson is here and he's 24, but every time I watch TV, they make sure to point that out, making me think that it is very rare that there are a bunch of 24-year-olds walking around college basketball.
Yeah. I mean, has he not watched, like, Kentucky the last 10 years with John Calipari? I mean, all 18-year-olds every year.
Especially whenever you, like, and that's another thing. Is like, Memphis knew what they were signing up for. Like, it's not like they got to the end of their roster. Like, you know what? We just got these 18-year-old freshmen that we were planning on redshirting. It was like, no, we got, like, Jalen Duren, who's supposed to be a top-five pick, and Amani Bates was supposed to be the next LeBron James at one point. And, you know, like, we brought in this highly ranked recruiting class. These aren't like 17, 18-year-old kids that are, you know, again, planning on developing and redshirting. It's not like we're like pulling, you know, Tamba from Catholic and be like, hey, man, sorry, you're thrust in here. You got to play. Like, a three-star project, no disrespect to him, but, you know, it's not like you're doing that. These guys were supposed to be ready to come in and play. Like Hayden said, have you seen Kentucky? Like, you've seen Duke win a national championship doing the same thing. Like, these are special freshmen. So you lose a lot of credibility when that's your excuse whenever you planned it to be this way.
Maybe that's why they used COVID to get out of the Tennessee game. They just didn't want to play 24-year-old John Fulkerson.
They've lost 8 of their last 12 games. So, I mean, like, they have not been very good. They haven't turned it around. They beat Alabama right before they beat us. But then, you know, after the schedule where they, you know, got out of our game, it's not like they all of a sudden turned it on and got healthy and better. Because that was the excuse there. It was like, you know, some people thought they just weren't healthy. They were banged up and and they couldn't have a roster and all these things. And it's not like they've, again, fixed things. They've been pretty terrible. Pretty, you know, had a couple of really embarrassing losses. I mean, didn't they lose at ECU over the weekend?
Yeah, they did.
They also lost to Tulsa. Or was it Tulane or Tulsa? They lost to one of the T schools. And that's
they lost to Tulane. Yeah.
That's an embarrassing
loss. I have a friend who is actually an ECU basketball fan.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he, like, sent me he's an ECU and a North Carolina basketball fan, so don't give him too much credit.
Oh, never mind.
But
what kind of combination is that?
I mean, I guess it's the same as like people that are like ETSU basketball fans that still root for Tennessee basketball. I mean, I guess it's not that far-fetched. Like, he went to ECU, so I guess like you root for the alma mater, but then you still probably grow up.
But you want a good team.
Yeah, yeah. That's weird because he's also like a South Carolina football fan. So I guess
I'm out on this.
I guess they're just like, hey, the Carolinas, I can root for anybody. But anyways, he sent me the shot that they hit to beat Memphis, and it was like on like a cell phone, like just like from the court, and it's just like this seems like the actual TV footage. So like it's pretty embarrassing loss for Memphis there. They did bound Wichita State, so I guess they had that going for them at the beginning of January. New year, new Memphis as they beat them down. But then lost three straight: UCF, ECU, and then last night a home loss to SMU, which had to hurt Larry Brown to see. Larry Brown had to be hurt by that. And then, you know, the SMU loss isn't really embarrassing. Like, they're a solid team, right? I mean, they're 14-4. I mean, they've had a pretty solid program. They're 5-1 in conference, so it's not like
they're not a bad team.
It's not like the meltdown was because of who they lost to, but it was just like, I guess the questions are finally getting to him. And the Memphis media, who has, you know, gone out of their way to prop him up and really, like, even get him the job in the first place, they have now turned on him. You had a little bit of dissent among the ranks whenever the COVID stuff happened and everyone found out, like, Memphis wasn't vaccinating Penny Lott about their vaccination rate whenever he's acting like they had, you know, over 90%.
Yep.
And then it turned out they only had, like, three vaccinated players on the team.
What'd he say, like, I guess I misspoke or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, like, still didn't own up to lying. Still didn't take any, like, blame.
Oopsies.
And, like, some Memphis media, like, did go out of their way to, like, you know, call him a liar and basically be like, this is inexcusable. So, at least it turned a little bit. But, like, it's funny that, like, a month later, I mean, because that was what? December 16th, is that right? I think it was December 16th, is that right? And you had some people calling for some accountability then, but a month later, it's now funny that, like, that's the main talking point. Again, after, like, they've let him skate for everything, like the James Wiseman stuff, and knowing that he had, like, violated rules, like, and trying to fight the NCAA on, like, stuff that he blatantly was trying to get by with. You know, basically helping pay to move him to Memphis. And all along, like, people just were using kid gloves on Penny Hardaway. And guess what happens? I mean, anybody that's ever raised kids or has any siblings or has met, like, spoiled kids, when you don't, like, give them any discipline and you let them do whatever they want, you keep making excuses for them, guess what happens? They usually become terrible people. They usually keep doing what you let them get away with and then keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. So, like, Penny Hardaway never had any accountability, so he's kept lying and he's kept, you know, being able to kind of write his own narrative. And now here we are, and Memphis fans and Memphis media are frustrated, and they really have no one to blame but themselves because they've made excuses for Penny Hardaway the entire time. And, like, it's funny, like, I know, like, Penny's mad at the media. I'm sure some Memphis fans are mad at the media. And it was kind of a dumb question. But, like, they've been protecting him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some Memphis fans think the media's out to get Penny now. And he's going to try to turn into a martyr and be a victim. But, like, Memphis made the mistake of protecting him. And anyone who thinks, like, the media enjoys, like, when teams lose, they don't. Memphis probably had high hopes that, like, hey, we're going to have, like, the final 4 days back and, like, we're going to have some excitement around the basketball program and all these all-Memphis shows are going to be able to, like, thank God for the Grizzlies in that town, because if the Grizzlies weren't, like, good right now, they would be in real meltdown mode.
Oh, yeah.
But now Memphis media's like, hey, let's try to hold Penny accountable because, you know, Memphis did feel good about their basketball program for a while. That was a long time ago.
When they won that NIT championship, yeah.
When they got the vacated Final Four cam that doesn't exist anymore.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
We don't acknowledge it.
Never heard of it.
We're off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. 16 deliciously refreshing flavors, only 100 calories. Celebrate Hayden Wallen's 21st birthday this weekend in his honor. Drink some White Claws. Cheer on the Titans to victory. Responsibly. We appreciate White Claw Hard Seltzer for their support. Cam, send us a break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
This winter, a day on the slopes is closer than you think.
Daddy said don't, but I said I'm gonna misbehaving.
I'm on a windowsill swimming in the creek.
Catching crawdads and playing with a stick.
I wore lipstick.
And I got caught shaving.
Season 2 of Righteous Gemstones has been pretty good. It's been pretty good so far. Got a little breaking news. Nothing that we didn't know was coming, but Truvon Davenport covers the Titans for ESPN, reports that Derrick Henry will be activated by the Titans. Again, it's something we all kind of knew, but he did make it.
I'm so excited to just get the tweet, though, the Derrick Henry activated tweet.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go.
Some things might happen to me.
Found out yesterday. I still have Titans muted in every form.
I thought you said that like 4 days ago. I thought you found out like on Tuesday.
Oh,
Monday.
Did I say that? Well, it was a couple. It was sometime recent. People like kept trying to.
Just continuing to be reminded. That
because every time people mention it, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I didn't see that tweet. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Why don't we just bury the hatchet, Cam? Why don't you just get on board? Why don't you just root for your friend's happiness? Root for your favorite player's happiness. And just do the right thing and be, I don't want to say the bigger person, but just do the right thing. It doesn't hurt you other than to see me happy. I know that some Titans fans might get on your nerves, but you like me, that's I think.
True. Yeah, no, that's fair.
You like Charlie and Hayden, I think.
Yeah.
No, I like you.
Well, thank you. I do like everyone in this room. That is true.
Get on board. Why are you rooting for me to be sad? You know what pain feels like. You know what sports fandom feels like.
I do.
You know that we're all legitimate in here.
That's true.
And you see us, and you don't want to. I know they say misery loves company, but it's not true. Seeing your friends happy should be something you strive for. You don't want to be the hater, Cam, that we talked about during overrated, underrated, that's just sitting there rooting against your friend's bets or rooting against your friend's happiness. You don't want to be that person. That's the worst type of person.
Well, I won't sit there and actively root against him. I just sit there and silently.
Silently root against
myself, yes.
Silently root against him.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, if you just like casually rooted for us this weekend, you'd still have as much Titans credit as Russell or Houston.
Basically just as much, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it'd be different if we were like Saints fans, though.
We are
completely harmless to the Falcons. I feel like generally the Titans.
I don't
Titans
know. Y'all like to
base
take our players, so it doesn't sound harmless.
We gave
to
you
me
a second rounder.
I mean,
who produced nothing?
I didn't. Don't say that yet. Julio's going to have a big playoff run. You didn't. I didn't hear you complaining last year whenever we took. What's his name?
He's a free agent.
Well, I know, but still, we took. You know,
you can have him.
Yeah. Didn't you get a comp pick or no? I don't know, but like.
No, he's not good enough.
I didn't hear you crying about that last year.
Yeah, we gave you your head coach.
We did give you your head coach. It seems like you like Arthur. If you don't like Arthur, don't like Arthur, I heard a lot of Falcons fans really like Dean Pease. He came from the Titans as well. So you already got our DNA in you. You are a part of us already.
Much
we're
like
the only
South
team
South
to not give up a 40-yard play this year.
I know.
Best defense in the league, huh?
I'm not going to say best defense in the league, but that defense was better than anybody thought it was going to be.
No explosive plays against us.
That's exactly right. So you already have Titans DNA in you. You got our second-round pick this year. Like, you're going to have more DNA. We're attached.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Only one 2.5-3 hours away from each other. Like
one of us.
I got no ill will towards the Falcons. We don't root against you.
Gobble, gobble.
I know sometimes we laugh whenever you, have real meltdowns, like, and you're really sad, but I'm always genuinely worried about you on Sundays when something bad happens. Not so much this
year. Fair enough.
But last year?
Yeah, last year.
When you had that string of, like, four straight, like, heartbreaking losses, I was worried about you. I didn't take any joy in that.
That was a bad month.
I mean, I even quit putting the Falcons in my top five best bets because every time I did, they lost.
There you go.
For you.
That's true.
Including the time that they played the Cowboys and got killed.
I sit there when Falcons games are on and I think about you.
I just feel like you need to let the hate go and just get on board. Like usually we see, this is no different. You got on the damn Braves bandwagon, by the way. You weren't a Braves fan. You can at least get on the Titans bandwagon, too. You live in the state.
I own Braves stuff. I've grown up growing the Braves games.
All right, I'll
games,
give you a Titan shirt. Now you own Titan stuff.
I own 80
you
Falcons
can wear this
shirts.
This Julio jersey the rest of the show
I
if you want.
I absolutely couldn't do that. That would burn my skin.
Just something to consider. I know a lot of people out there probably, especially like fans of loser teams like Cowboys fans or who else lost this weekend? Colts.
Cowboys
didn't even
fans
make the playoffs.
Steelers.
Steelers fans. There's a lot of the people that listen to the show are probably like really hate rooting against us.
Yeah.
Because their team, especially if they lost to the Titans or in the AFC.
I just don't think I can forgive all the Titans fans that used to tell me that Julio wasn't really that good. He doesn't catch touchdowns. And yet when we trade him to you guys, all the Titans fans are like, oh, we just got the best receiver. We're so good now.
I think that's a straw man, Cam.
Titans fans really given you a lot of that?
I
feel like you just like happen to know two really random weird Titans fans. I don't really think of the Titans.
I interact with a lot of people on a daily basis working in customer service. And they all pretty much know I'm a Falcons fan, and they loved bringing it up.
That's fine, but I don't think 2 years ago or 3 years ago they're arguing with you about Julio not being good. I think you're making that part up.
People talk about him being overrated. He just doesn't catch touchdowns.
You just talked to some disgruntled fantasy owners is what you were dealing with.
Yeah, and that's fine.
You're gonna judge a whole fan base off of a couple bad apples?
A little bit. A little bit. Okay. Usually with fruit, it spreads very quickly. Once one goes bad, the rest start going bad pretty soon after.
That way of thinking has ruined the world for centuries. Having one bad experience with somebody and letting it reflect on everybody. You should think about that, Cam.
I'll see. I got, I guess, 24 hours or so to see if I can.
I know you're rooting for the Bengals, Cam. You don't have to lie to me. It's fine. You can go to hell.
I do have nothing against the Bengals.
When Julio.
They haven't wronged me in any way.
When Julio has his coming out party.
I hold grudges.
I'm going to text Cam whenever Julio scores a touchdown.
Please do. He does that in the playoffs.
You get good service in Nissan Stadium?
Julio. Yeah.
Man.
You do?
Having to host a playoff game outside.
This is the first year I have.
I mean, this is the first year
I did when I went to the game last year, but it was also like half capacity. So
this is the first year I've been able to get any service at Nissan.
The thing is, like, I doubt I'll be texting much during the game because it's going to be so cold that I usually just keep my gloves on and not even worry about getting my phone out.
You're going to wear gloves?
Yeah, I'm going to wear gloves, Charlie.
You going to wear short sleeves?
Probably.
Man.
As high as you sit up there, Charlie, I'd be sort of bundled up.
The poverty of hosting outside.
I sit in the best seats in the stadium.
As high as you sit up in the 300s, right? I'd be sort of bundled up.
You sat in my seats, kind
of. I know. I'd be sure to bundle up. It's going to be cold up there on Sunday.
It's in the lower part. It's in the luge.
I'd
be careful.
It's right
on the 50-yard line.
They are good seats. I'm just kidding.
Better than yours.
But the wind. Agree to disagree. The wind's going to be swirling up there.
I am the wind.
What the hell does that mean, you are the wind?
I don't really know.
Just be careful. Bundle up is all I'm telling you.
Cheapest possible tickets remaining. The cheapest ticket remaining for a divisional round game, according to Ticketmaster, Chiefs Bills is actually the cheapest at $100.
Is that just fatigue?
I don't know.
Is that fatigue? Like,
it's got to be, right?
Are Chiefs fans just like, you know what, we've been here, done that? Because that seems surprising to me just because, like, I would think that, like, with Bills Mafia coming.
I would, too. That is surprising to me. The second cheapest is 49ers Packers.
That seemed like, well, I saw that graphic, and I mean,
I don't really understand this graphic, honestly.
The get in price right now, the get in price right now for Bills Chiefs on StubHub, the cheapest one is $150 with fees. Which, I mean, if you're buying tickets, you got to look for fees, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Titans Bengals, though, most expensive ticket, $256 on Ticketmaster.
Yeah. I mean, the Titans have either. They've done a pretty successful job, or at least they've tried to, you know, keep a lot of tickets off the resale market. So I don't know, like, how many tickets are actually listed on StubHub.
Not a lot. This is on Ticketmaster that they're doing the graphic off of because it's the official NFL ticket exchange site. But,
sure.
There's not a lot out there.
There are a lot of sections on the Titans board, but, like, they're all, like, you know, kind of two tickets, four tickets.
You think we're looking at a predominantly Titans crowd tomorrow? You think we did a good job keeping the Bengals out? Do they even travel that well?
I think the Bengals will travel, man. The Bengals have I feel like the Bengals are going to be in a weird spot with their fan base where you have the diehards who have been waiting a long time for a season like this, and you have a bunch of new fans who are hungry with Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase because, you know, if you're still a Bengals fan over the age of, like, 30 – like, my age or older, like, you are a diehard to go through, like, the last, you know, basically 31 years where you didn't win a playoff game. So I think they'll come. I think they'll be rowdy. I mean, it's not that dissimilar from when the Titans went on the road to New England and then went on the road to Baltimore. The Titans brought a lot of fans. Cincinnati is an easy trip. I'm sure they think they're going to win. I mean, they're probably looking and saying they got the best quarterback in the game, and that means they're going to win.
Now, weren't the Titans doing something to, like, prevent, like, Bengals fans from coming?
The only thing that they were doing was basically if you bought, like, season ticket members, like myself, if you bought tickets, you couldn't resell them on, like, any of the Ticketmaster or StubHub sites.
Oh, that's cool.
I couldn't buy, like, sell my extra ones. I could sell my normal seat, I guess, on StubHub. And, like, I guess you couldn't transfer the ticket up before 24 hours before the game, which, I mean, so if you were, like, selling them online to Bengals fans, like, you'd be in a real game of chicken of, like, hey, I'm selling you these tickets for $600 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, send me the money. And then, like, okay, you're going to trust a stranger that you don't know to, like, send you the ticket 24 hours before the game. So, like, I mean, they were trying to put some things in there to stop it. But, like, I know there's going to be some conversation. Like, I'm already braced for a lot of Bengals fans at the game on Saturday. I just think that's just the way it's going to be in every sporting event from here until the end of time. Like, if you want to have tickets to a game and you're willing to pay,
yeah, you can get them.
You're going to find somebody to sell them to you in a sec, you know, on a secondary market, and you're going to pay a premium. I mean, like, you'll be able to bring your fans, and the people that are selling tickets are just going to make some money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready for Bengals fans. I pretty much am always surrounded by away fans.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much always getting into it with people. The people that sit directly to the left of me, the four seats to the left of me, whoever owns those seats.
Constantly sell them.
Has sold them to away fans for every game since 2008. So, whoever owns 312, row E, 5 through 9, me and you are enemies. If you ever do show up to a game, it's on site. But I know they'll be there. I just hope there's not.
I don't think they're gonna they're not gonna like overrun the stadium or anything. But I would say there's gonna be 20%, at least 30%. I mean, there are gonna be 10,000 to 15,000 loud Bengals fans, and like that's what's supposed to happen. And it makes it more fun. Like, I think the Titans fans that are there are gonna be really loud. I think it's gonna be the same thing throughout every playoff game, though. I mean, you saw like how many 49ers fans made it to the Cowboys game. Like, there's nothing you can really do about it. You just go there and you got to be loud and still try to create a home field advantage. So like, I think the Titans will still have a big majority, but.
So would either of you guys get into a physical altercation with a Bengals fan over this game or no?
I don't do physical altercations at games because I don't want to get banned from the stadium. I mean, I've gotten like pretty close. I will chirp people. I mean, I get into it with people, but I always tell them, I mean, look, you're not worth my time. If you want to hit me first, I guess you can, but like, I'm not going to fight you because you are worthless to me.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm most likely not going to would never get into a fight with a fan in a game. You do see the videos go viral sometimes. Like, you kind of just get drug into it. Like, my section, we don't really ever have like too many opposing fans. Honestly, so like, I don't think I have to worry about it. Now, coming out of the game or going into the game, a little bit different story. I did almost get into kind of a fight before the AFC Championship. Like, me and the guy was kind of getting into it, and then we lost. So. He was right and I was wrong, I guess. But
I probably get into it with away fans like every other game, really. And it's just that I piss them off. And the Titans usually win.
Are you chirping at them?
I don't chirp at fans.
Yeah,
and I don't say anything crude.
I don't.
Vulgar.
Crude, I believe.
It is always clean. It's always more funny than it is mean. And I just kind of chirp the teams.
Now tell me.
But it gets people pissed off.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Because I could see Charlie right now sitting there. Yelling at the people next to him.
Yep.
Thanks for spending your tax dollars by coming into Nashville. Hope you enjoyed your trip. Thanks for stimulating our economy. Thanks for coming in. Hope you enjoy your trip back. Oh, wow, that's going to be a long flight back.
Yeah, but that's never.
You spent all this money to come here just to lose.
That's never like the starter. Like, it always starts with me just
gets there.
Yelling at the other team in general and yelling at the field. And then they start saying stuff to me. And then I hit them with family friendly banter that's creative enough to piss them off.
Okay.
Like, I had a Saints fan.
He's a clean comic.
I had a Saints fan me out of the stadium and, like, chest to chest just the whole time, and I just had my back turned to him. I was like, dude, I'm not going
to
fight you.
So chest to back?
You were like, I guess chest to back, really. Yeah. He just, like, kept getting, like, saying stuff in my ear, and I was like, yeah, like, if you want to swing on me, go ahead. I'll give you a free shot, but I'm not going to fight you. I don't care about you. He got really mad because, like, he was really being obnoxious.
Saints fans are the worst.
And then the Saints scored, and he's like, when they were still down by a good bit, and I was like, oh, like, now they have 7 more points than family members that you have that still love you, and that really got him.
Yeah. He's a little hateful, Troy. He's just there trying to enjoy the game.
He had it coming.
Just trying to get into the game.
I feel like he had it coming.
I promise he had it coming.
For having the audacity to sit in your section.
No, he had it. Like, he was turned around saying stuff to me. I had a Dolphins fan that said some very mean things to me week 17.
I try not to get too upset anymore. I try to not be that guy at games.
My whole section has my back. They're all
– They love Charlie.
Yeah, we got Big Papa in front of me. They're all season ticket holders, and they all love me.
Okay. Now, when I went to Georgia last year, which is still so cringy to say out loud that I went to Georgia during COVID to –
You left me to sleep on a Best Western floor.
3-17. And as we're leaving out after like maybe the third Garantano turnover in the second half or another Georgia touchdown, I don't remember. Like, there were a couple guys that barked at me. told me to enjoy the trip. Got a little like aggressive towards me. They put me in a bad mood. Then on the street, there was one guy like barked right in my face. He was a drunk guy, probably like my age, maybe a little bit older, maybe in his late 30s. Definitely could have beat him up, and he barked in my face, and there was a part of me that came very close, because I was already mad about getting barked at by a couple other people and like having chirps at me. It was very, very close, and I was right on the street, like next to where like we were staying, so I could have easily like beat him up got out of like the streets before anybody came. But I was like, you know what?
That's good. You had your exit strategy. That's gross. You always got to have your exit strategy.
Yeah, I was like, I'm on the street. Like the place we were staying was literally like half a block.
Yeah.
Not even half a block. Just like, you know, 20 feet. I was like, I can punch his lights out, make sure his friends don't try to fight me, and I can get in here and get my stuff and be gone before anybody even knows what happened. But I was like, you know what? This
always
is
always Athens, Georgia.
Imagine how happy that guy is now.
I know. I think about that
I know,
sometimes.
Yes.
I think about some of the guys.
All those
that,
people
like,
I hate, they're just enjoying life.
I think about some of the people I like rage argued with that like were ready to kill us in 2016 after the Hail Mary. Like those guys were very, very mad.
Yeah.
But they're all happy now too. They've all found some type of happiness in their sports team. So I'm happy for them. They might even be riding a double hive, the Braves and the Bulldogs.
Yep. That's what most happy. Of my back home friends are doing.
I don't want them happy.
I don't want them happy either, but I'm happy that somebody's getting happiness. Like I'm good for them.
I guess, like, you're being nice.
Maybe I don't care about my friend's happiness, because I was not excited for my friend's that my best friend just won a national championship, and I was just like, hey, dude, that I don't enjoy this for you. Like, please stop texting me about it.
You don't have to text me about it, but, like, yeah, good for them.
I'll be happy for my friends that, like, root for teams that aren't perennial contenders and or rivals of my team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different, Georgia and Tennessee rivals.
Fair enough, yeah.
You know, it's a little bit different, but... Mm.
Would y'all be willing to give the state of Georgia some water for a Titans?
It's not my water. I don't care.
They always get in that argument.
Although, I mean, it is nice, I guess, to have that over them. They get so mad. The natural border should be here. The state line should end here. Give us some water.
We went through some droughts. I remember going through droughts growing up back home where you literally can't, like, water your yard or anything in the summer. Like, your grass is dying, and you're not allowed to do anything because we don't get any water.
Screw your grass. It's our water.
It does seem weird that like there hasn't like I'm surely there's some type of compromise there. Like, does Georgia have to pay Tennessee for water? Do we just say no?
Sounds like y'all just keep saying no.
Seats taken. Quit saying y'all. You're in Tennessee too.
I don't know. I don't really drink the water here. I guess I don't really drink water.
Hold time out. You don't drink the water here?
I don't really drink water in general.
Tap water is one of the best things ever.
You're easy to please. You just turn. I mean, I guess whenever you're looking at it from you know a world perspective, you just turn the water on and it comes out. I mean, I guess you probably are right.
Like I drink like a gallon of tap water a day.
Tap water, underrated.
I guess so. Okay. All right.
Hose outside. Delicious.
Yeah.
If y'all win a Super Bowl, I'll change my ID to Tennessee State ID, which I've been refusing to do. Because I don't want to be from here.
That gives me no incentive for the Titans to win a Super Bowl. I'm not gonna be celebrating. Like,
that
yes,
now
Cam has a Tennessee State ID. Yes, yes, he's officially a Tennessean. No, it's not gonna do anything for me.
Okay. Well, that was my only offer, so I'm rescinding that.
Okay. Well, then it's war, and you know your sports teams that you hate usually do pretty well. So go ahead and hate the Titans. It's fun.
A couple people have told me that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Completely fine with that. You hate Georgia. They just won a national championship.
Yeah, maybe
so, you
I
know.
Should embrace y'all then.
Don't do that. That's what Cody did last time.
Yeah, that is what Cody did.
Hated the Titans up until they beat the Ravens and was on board for the Chiefs game when we got beat. So just keep doing what you're doing. I know you're going to shed a couple of tears when Julio catches his touchdown in the playoffs, game one.
Probably his second one, you know.
You might cry on the second one, yeah.
The third one, though, I think you'll find a little bit of joy.
You're going to stop in the Super Bowl when he has that toe tap on the sideline, and you're going to be like, wow, he's still got it. I'm glad he's finally getting his ring. This is his moment.
That would make me physically angry.
Hour one of the books. We're kicking off hour two of headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.